Okay, tonight's shir is being dedicated in memory of Chaim Alter ben Yecheskel, and Hashem should have an aliyah, schus of the Talmud Torah of the evening. First of all, I want to welcome everybody to, a new year of shirim. It's a little bit, the beginning is a little bit misleading, because it's like the first shir, but it's also the last shir, till after Yontif. It just turns out that the way the calendar works discriminates this year again, depending on your point of view, it discriminates against the Monday nights. All the Monday nights are either Yontif or Motzai Yontif or Motzai Tanis. So happens that this is the only one that when Rabbi Arbetsold and I were calculating, this is the only one that we could get in before Yontif. So this year tonight will be on the topic of Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos Shabbos, which is what happens this year. So it's a timely topic, one could say. And then we'll continue after Yontif, I guess the first Monday after Sukkot. When does Sukkot end? What day of the week?
Sunday.
Okay, good.
Sunday.
Okay, so Monday night we certainly can have a shir. And then we'll begin we're going to be studying the third parak of Bava Basra, which is a very rich Limud, Parakas Kasabatim, and we'll start with that on at that point at that time. Okay, for today we want to focus on as a preparation for the Yom Neroim and particularly Rosh Hashanah on Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos Shabbos. Again, this is a phenomenon that occurs now and then, not every year, not every second year. I don't know what the numbers. What the statistics are, but this is one of those years when it's Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos Shabbos, and I think it's a timely topic for that reason. What I'm going to suggest going forward is that Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos Shabbos is a theme which is relevant even during a year when Rosh Hashanah is not Chol Yos Shabbos. There's something about the phenomenon of Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos Shabbos which I'm going to argue is an accurate reflection of some of the unique features of Rosh Hashanah itself. So while it's a timely topic, it's also, an objectively important topic, even if this year it wasn't Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos Shabbos. What? Timely and timeless. Okay, fine. Let's begin with the first source, and that is the Mishnah and the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. So, again, if you turn to the Makaros here, so the Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis outlines what it is that takes place when there is the confluence of Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos. Yom Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos Shabbos, the Mishnah tells us, the Mikdash HaYutokin Avalo BeMedina. When Shabbos was Rosh Hashanah, so they used to blow shofar in the Beis HaMikdash, right? But not b'medina, not outside of the Beis HaMikdash. There's a machlokas rishonim between the Rambam and Rashi, what Mikdash means. That's fine. You know, I can just talk out the riff part. That's okay. Right. I really need mostly the riff part. But Rambam is of the opinion that Mikdash includes not only the Beis HaMikdash but also Yerushalayim. Rashi, both this is the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos, both in Sukkah and in Rosh Hashanah. And Rashi, on the other hand, thinks that Mikdash means literally the Beis HaMikdash, even excluding Yerushalayim. In any case, when Shabbos would come out, when Rosh Hashanah would come out on a Shabbos, there was Tkiyah Shofar at least in the Beis HaMikdash, possibly also in Yerushalayim as an extension of the Mikdash, but not the Medina, not outside of the confines of what we're calling here Mikdash. On the other hand, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai issued token b'chol malkom sheyesh bo bezdin. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted takana that they should blow Shofar on Shabbos, any place in which there was a bezdin. Rabbi Lazar joins the discussion and says, Lo hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai elab Yavne bilvad. Only in a place like Yavne, probably what he means, according to most who show him what he means, is Yavne had the bezdin hagadol, So a regular Beis Din wouldn't be sufficient. The Beis Din HaGadol would be the substitute for what was then previously the Beis HaMikdash, and only in that kind of setting would it be permissible to blow shofar on Shabbos. Amalo. So the Chacham said to him, Echad Yavna v'Echad Kol Mokom Sheish Beis Din. They disagreed. Once you no longer have the Beis HaMikdash, so the replacement can be satisfied by any Beis Din. This is a debate among Rishonim what any Beis Din means. We'll get to that in just a minute as well. Moreover, the Mikdash was superior to Yavna in the ability to blow shofar even on Shabbos. Shekol ir she'iroa v'shoma sukrova v'yicholalabo token, because any city in the proximity of Yerushalayim that would be able to see Yerushalayim, would be able to hear what was going on in Yerushalayim, that was capable of entering Yerushalayim without too much of a distance, that satellite place to Yerushalayim would also be included in the permissibility of Tkiyas Shofar B'Mikdash. Well, whereas in Yavne, only the actual Makom Beis Din allowed for Tkiyas Shofar B'Shabbos, and not anything more. So the Chacham are telling us that the situation in Yerushalayim was superior to that of its replacement in Yavne, and not only that, but mostly they're also telling us that Yavne is not unique, that Makom Sheish Bo Beis Din would suffice.
Okay. The Od Zos, what else was there?
In addition to the fact that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it was only the Mikdash and not any other Makom Beis Din, let's say, in the time of Yavne, number one, there's nothing unique about Yavne. Other places of the Beis Din would suffice, that's number one. And number two, Yerushalayim had another unique element, in addition to being the only place in the world, as opposed to, you know, being substituted for by any place. Yesh Beis Din, Makom Samoch, Makom Karov, Makom She'afshar L'shmoa. In other words, Yerushalayim encompassed other satellites as well. Okay, that's the mission.
If you follow Rashi,
that's only in
the
Mikdash,
how do you explain this statement?
How do you explain what?
Place,
right, because it still might have been limited. That's a good question. It might have been limited still only to the time when the Beis Din was actually together, as opposed to or Yerushalayim. It could be that in places which weren't Roev, the Shomea, the Samuch, to the Makom HaMikdash. The Gemara has all sorts of different places where different elevations. Places, where he was in a bikka, and you couldn't hear as well. So Yerushalayim would be an expansion, and then the debate would also be whether or not being close to Yerushalayim, as opposed to being close to the Mikdash, would extend the area. There are various suggestions. It's a good question. Okay. Anyway, that's the Mishnah. The focus of today's shiur is not so much the substitution, although we'll try to get to that a little bit as well, of the Mikdash in Yerushalayim. By other Batei Dinim, but the very idea itself that there is no Tkiyas Shofar when Rosh Hashanah is Chol Yos B'Shabbos, but there is an outlet somewhere, whether it be in Yerushalayim or Yavne or Mokom Sheish Lo Mikdash, that idea per se is what I want to focus on. So let's turn to the Gemara for a moment. The Gemara says, Minan Emili, how do we know that this is the case, that there's no Tkiyas Shofar on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Levi bar Lachma, Amar Rav Chama bar Chanina, Kosev Echad Omer Shabbosan Zichron Trua, Kosev Echad Omer Yom Trua Yeh Lachem. There are two psukim in the Torah that define Rosh Hashanah. One is in Parshas Emor, Zichron Trua. The other is in Parshas Pinchas, in the context of the discussion of the Musafin. That's where it says Yom Trua Yeh Lachem. How come the discrepancy Zichron Trua and Yom Trua? So the Gemara says, Lokasha. Kan b'yontzah shechol yos b'shabbos, kan b'yontzah shechol yos b'chol. Very famous Gemara. Gemara says if in most years when Rosh Hashanah is on chol, so then it's yom trua, because it's tkiyas shofar. On those, less common occasions when Rosh Hashanah is chol b'shabbos, so then we apply the principle of zichron trua, the idea of zecher, it's a a memory of the Truah, because there is no Truah itself. This is the hint, this is the remez, that there's actually no Tkias shofar on Shabbos. That's the Gemara's Havah here. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, according to this view, the distinction between Shabbos and Chol is Daraisa. And if that's the case, the Mikdash, Heichitakinan, if really there's a problem blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and it's a Daraisa problem, hinted at by Zichron Truah, where we're kind of being told cease and desist from Tkiyah shofar on Shabbos, even on Rosh Hashanah, especially on Rosh Hashanah. So how can we have the exception of the Mikdash? The Mikdash, Heichitakinan, if something is prohibited, Biglulin, it should be prohibited in the Mikdash as well. The Ode, moreover, Halav Malachahi, what would be the Yitzhar? The Yitzhar Lemude. You need a pasuk to tell you that you can't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yas B'Shabbos. Now we understand if there is an Yitzhar, if there's a Malacha. But if there's no Malacha, what is the basis of such an Yitzhar? The Tanit Bei Shmuel, Kol Malacha Savoyu Lo Sa'asu, Yotza Tkiyas Shofar, Rediyas Sapas, Shechachma Vein Malacha. Tkiyas Shofar is not considered a Malacha, but a Chachma. And it's not prohibited at all, midaraisa, just like Rediyas Hapas is not considered to be a malacha. If it's not daraisa, then how could be excluded daraisa? Elam Arava, so that's when the Gemara comes to its final famous conclusion, midaraisa mishra shari, rabbanan hu degazerbe, kidurabba. Really, in principle, one could blow shofar on Shabbos, even bigvulin, right, not only in the mikdash. The fact that we don't blow Bigvulin is the Chiddush, not the fact that we do blow the Mikdash. What is the basis of the prohibition? The Gzeirav Rabba. Dama Rabba, Hakol Chayav Bitkia Shofar, Ena Kol Bikin Bitkia Shofar. Everybody's obligated, not everybody is capable, not everybody has the expertise. And therefore, Gzeira Shemi Yitlana Biyado, Biyelechetz Labaki Lumod, we're worried that you'll pick up your shofar, you'll go to the expert so that he can tutor you in Tkiyah Shofar, and be Avirena Daoramos Bishus Harabim. And in the process, you'll violate the Isra of Shabbos. The whole discussion of the Rishonim, why we zero in on Daoramos Bishus Harabim, and we don't speak about what appears to be even more fundamental, Hotzam or Shus Lashus. We're not going to discuss that tonight, but that's a topic in its own right. And then the Gemara concludes, Behainu Tama Delulav, Behainu Tama Demegillah. The same reasoning applies, and we know this to be the case, with regard to Lulav. That's why if Sukkot, the first day of Sukkot comes out on Shabbos, or any day of Sukkot comes out on Shabbos, again, we do not take the Lulav, even the first day as it happens. We'll discuss that in just a minute. And the same is true with regard to Megillas Esther. If Purim falls out on a Shabbos, there's no Kriyas HaMegillah. We're going to make allowances, or we mocked in the Kriyas HaMegillah, or whatever the case may be, depends whether it's on the 14th or the 15th, but either way, there'll be no Lulav on Shabbos, and there'll be no Megillah on Shabbos, and there is no Tkiyah Shofar on Shabbos. Sorry? What is it used for? So that's a very good question. The Gemara uses Zichron Truah to justify Mitzvos Trichos Kavana B'Tkiyah Shofar. The Gemara about Chav Ches in Rosh Hashanah says that a tokeh of the shir, a person, you know, blows because he's interested in the musical notes and not in the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar. So there's a debate whether yatzah lo yatzah. The question whether the mitzvah is tzrichas kavana or ein tzrichas kavana. Do you need kavana intent in the performance of the mitzvah? And at one point the Gemara says, well, we know this halacha already. We know it from the discussion about what happens on Pesach with kafo parsiyim, let's say non-Jews force feed you matzah. You fulfill the mitzvah of matzah without kavana or not. So the Gemara says, maybe one could distinguish between shofar and matzah. When it comes to matzah, the fact is that when you eat it, you eat it. Right? The Torah says, achol matzah the ha'achal. When it comes to shofar, since it says zichron truah, as opposed to simply yom truah, so the idea is that there has to be some kavana as well. And since the requirement of kavana, even if mitzvahs ain't tzrichos kavana when it comes to matzah, tzrichos kavana when it comes to shofar. So that's the Gemara's lima. Rashi, by the way, we didn't work together, but I'm glad that you asked me this question. Rashi, in this parish on the Torah, in Parshas Emor, when he says a zichron truah, This is what it says in Amar. So Rashi says that Zichron refers to Psuke, Shofaros, and Zichronos, probably also Malchios. Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros are derived from Zichron Trua. So Rashi, in his Perash HaLaTorah, is one thing. The Gemara has something else. The reason it's such a very good and important point, that it's highlighted, is that the Kapos Tamarim asks a question on this Gemara. Right. Instead of asking it your way, he asks the same question but the opposite way. That you ask, well, at the end of the day, the limud of Shabbos is only an asmachta because it's only a dindra rabbanan, so why does it say Zichron Trua as opposed to Yom Trua? And I just tried to give you one answer based on the Gemara, another answer based on Rashi. The Kapos Tamarim asks the question in the opposite way. It says, when the Gemara thought that the source for Zichron Trua, the source for Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos Ein Tokin Bo is Zichron Trua, what did the Gemara think? What happened to the idea that we learn the requirement of Tzrichos Kavana from this Pasuk? Or, according to Rashi, in his Perash Al HaTorah, what happened to Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros? They go out the window when the Gemara thinks that Zichron Trua teaches us about Shabbos? That's a question of the Kapos Tamarim. So I'm very glad you asked it. What I'll suggest going forward is that maybe these three limudim, now there's the Gemara's Havamina that Zichron Trua refers to Rosh Hashanah Shekalios Shabbos, and the Perush of Rashi Al HaTorah that refers to Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, as well as the Gemara's idea that maybe it teaches us that Dafka and Shofar Mitzvah Strikos Kavana, maybe there's a common theme to all of those, and Zichron Trua is capable of teaching us all of them. So let's hold that thought. Okay, this is the Gemara. The Gemara that goes on, it's a very strange Gemara, actually, to tell us the following story. I'm not sure if we'll get back to this point later on, but Yishachar Beth Amikta Shitkin Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai Tan Rabbanan Pam Achas Chol Rosh Hashanah Yos B'Shabbos. Once happened that, like this year, Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos. V'hayu Kol Ha'arim Wisconsin, everybody was, like, you know, packing their belongings and, you know, moving to Yerushalayim so that they could fulfill the mitzvah of Tkiya Shofar on Shabbos. Omer Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai Lebnei Beseira Nitka Omer Lo Nadun. He said, should we blow shofar under these circumstances? He said, we'll discuss it. Omer Lehem Nitka V'yachar Kach Nadun. Let's blow shofar first and we'll figure it out or we'll talk about it later. So then the Gemara says, La'achar Shetaka Omer Lo Nadun. So he said, they did skia shofar, and then he said, okay, now we should really discuss whether this is the right thing to do. Omer Lehem, listen, Kfar Nishma Karen Biavne, the Ein Meshibin La'achar Maisa. So this is a very strange Gemara. We should try to understand this Gemara. I don't know if we'll have a chance. Well, what kind of game is this? He said, Nadun. You know, it is the right thing to do. It's not the right thing. He said, listen, let's first let's do the Tkia, then we'll talk. Then it's a fait accompli, so we're not going to talk anyway. What's that whole story about? The other point in the Gemara is that even if other batedinim can serve instead of Yavne, it has to be a bezin kavua, not a bezin akron. Okay, that's the end of the Gemara. So let's just take a minute and analyze what we just read and try to chart the issues or the problems, and then maybe that'll be an opening to understanding it a little bit better. Okay. The first thing is that the Mishnah tells us that there's a discrepancy between Mikdash and Gvula. And when Rosh Hashanah is Chol Yos B'Shabbos, the practice in the Beis HaMikdash is different than the practice in Gvulin. There is Tkiyas Shofar B'Mikdash, not the Gvulin. Of course, this itself requires some understanding. What kind of compromise is this? Right? If something is an Isur Malacha, or some fundamental kind of an Isur, it should be also B'Mikdash as well. Essentially, the Gemara asks this question. When the Gemara thought that maybe this was a din daraisa, the Gemara said, how could that be? Is it conceivable that something would be daraisa also b'gvulin, and it would be permitted in the mikdash? Right? And that's one of the reasons, right, together with the other very important reason, namely what would be the Isur, min haTorah, that the Gemara turned its back on the idea that this is daraisa. Having said that, it's interesting to note that there is a day in the Yerushalmi, we'll come back to it, that seems to accept this view, the halacha. Okay, we don't paskin like this, a view of the Yerushalmi, but there's a day in the Yerushalmi that seems to think that the difference between Yom Trua Yelachem and Zichron Trua is in fact that one refers to Shabbos and the other refers to Chol. In other words, that midaraisa, there is a distinction between Shabbos and Chol when it comes to Tkiyas Shofar. So this question that the Gemara itself asked, how is it conceivable that in the Mikdash, right, and in the Medina, we'll practice differently when it comes to a Daraisa, is a question that needs to be clarified in the Havamina of our Gemara, and for one day at least in the Yerushalmi. It's more than that. It's not just the compromise, it's the fact that this is pretty much without precedent. Even when you look at what would seem to be the closest parallel. What's the closest parallel to this problem of shofar? Lulav. Right? The Gemara says, Hainu Lulav, Hainu Megillah. Megillah, we understand, is a little bit different. Right? The whole mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is Dindrabanan. And Hey Mamru again. It's pretty easy for the Chachamim to rewrite the rules of Kriyas HaMegillah. The closest analog to Tkiyas Shofar, of course, is Lulav. Because certainly the first day, Bein Bikvul and Bein Bimedina, is the mitzvah d'oraisa of Netilas Lulav. And, for that matter, all 7 days in the Mikdash, it's d'oraisa. So the question of what happens on Shabbos is very closely resembles what happens on Rosh Hashanah, Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. In both cases, you have a mitzvah say, and you have the clash of Shabbos. But, when you look at Lulav, right, we don't have this phenomenon. We don't say that the Mikdash, you can bring the Lulav. And the Medina, you don't bring the Lulav. What do we have in Lulav, in fact? So just look for a minute at the Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara in Sukkah. And it raises two different questions. The Mishnah in Sukkah, again, bottom of page 1, tells us as follows. This is the fourth parak of Sukkah, Membeis Homudeis, the Mishnah. We're told, Lulav Araba Shisha V'Shiva. When it comes to Lulav and Araba, taking the Lulav and taking the Araba, right, they're going to be 6 or 7 days worth. Okay? Halav Simcha Shmona. As for saying Hallel and the expressions of Simcha, those are 8 days. Because that also includes Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres, right, we don't take the Lulav and there's no Araba. Sukkah V'Nisach HaMayim Shiva. And so on, the Mishnah keeps going. Hachalel Chamisha, Veshisha, with the Simchas Pesach Shoeva, where they played musical instruments, so they didn't do that kolos on Shabbos. So depending whether there were 2 Shabbosos or only 1 Shabbos in the 8-day period, there would be either 5 or 6 days of that. Then the Gemara elaborates. Lulav Shiva Ketzad, Yom Tov Rishon Shochag Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. If the first day of Yom Tov is Shabbos, so Lulav Shiva Veshar Kol Hayomim Shishisha. So the Mishnah tells us if the first day of Yom Tov, of Sukkot, falls out on Shabbos, you would take the Lulav on Shabbos itself. If, on the other hand, Shabbos fell not on the first day of Yom Tov, but any other day, then that day you would not bring the Lulav. That's where the numbers of 6 and 7 come. If the first day of Yom Tov is Shabbos, then all 7 days will take the Lulav. If it's any other day of the week, so the Shabbos, during that week, you won't take the Lulav. Okay. Now, look at the Gemara. We can skip the rest of the Mishnah for the moment. The Gemara says, Amai, Tiltal B'Almahu. The implication is that when it comes to Lulav, as long as the first day is not Shabbos, you will not carry the Lulav, you won't do Netilas Lulav on Shabbos. Why not? What's the problem? There's no Malacha, no one of the 39 of us Malacha in the taking of Lulav and Dalad Minim. It's Tiltal B'Alma. The Litchi Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Amarabba, Gzeira Shami Bana Biyado, Biyelech Etzel Baki Lomot. Sounds very familiar. We're worried that, you know, there's an art, I guess, to shaking the Lulav or taking the Lulav properly, and we're worried that he'll go to a Baki to get instructions. And let's continue the next page. Biyavi Renu, Dalad Amas, Brishus Arabim. Behind the time of the shofar, behind the time of the Megillah, just like our Gemara. So far, it sounds like it's the same. But there's one huge discrepancy. Hihachi Yom Rishon Nami. So if that's the case, then if we're really worried about Shemi Avreda Dalamas Mishus Arabim, we should be worried the first day as well. So the Gemara says, Rishon Hatakinu L'Rabbanan Bebeiso. The problem of the first day is solved because the Chachamim said, take the lulav, but make sure you keep it at home and you don't take it in the street, so there'll be no violation of Dalamas Mishus Arabim. So the Gemara says, Hotanach, Achar Takana, Kodem Takana Ma'ikilamim. Before they made this Takana and told everybody, you know, be very extra careful, you know, to keep it in your home. Of course, the other question is, why don't they have the same kind of Takana for Shofar, which we'll get to in a moment. El Rishon, the Islam in Atorah Bigvulin, Lo Gazubu Rabbanan. Hanich, the Lasnaim in Atorah Bigvulin, Gazubu Rabbanan. Now listen to this. This is already new territory. Right? We're breaking new ground here. Gemara says, if the first day of Sukkot falls on a Shabbos, you can take the lulav even on Shabbos. The reason is, since Bein B'Mikdash, Bein B'Gvulin, it's Daraisa, right? So, it's Docha, the concern for the Gzeira. The other days, since they're only Daraisa and the Mikdash, but B'Gvulin they're not, in other words, these are less intensive days of the Tilas Lulav Daraisa. So therefore, even in the Mikdash, they establish the Gzeira of Rabba. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Ihachi Ha'idna Nami. Well, why don't we follow this practice today? If the first day of Sukkot is the first day, I guess it's the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Sukkot, right? Yes. This year, it's the same, it's always the same. So, you know, that brings it even into sharper focus, right? So in the olden days, in the days of the, you know, of the Gemara, of the Mishnah, the days of the Mishnah, they would not take the shofar on Rosh Hashanah outside of the Mikdash, but they would take the lulav. Right. Now the Gemara is asking, how come Bismanenu? We don't, this year we're not going to take the lulav on the first day either. Beginning of the Gemara, the Mishnah, we should, even despite the Gzeira of Rabbah. So the Gemara answers, Anan lo yadina bikviya diyarcha. That's because we are not familiar with the calendar, and we're not really 100% sure that what we think is the first day of Yom Tov is really the first day of Yom Tov. So imagine it's Shabbos, it's always Shabbos, that we know. But we're not certain that it's first day of Yom Tov. So because of that chashash, we can't rely on the Daraisa of Lulav and the fact that it is Daraisa, Bein B'Mikdash, Bein B'Gmulin, we can't rely on that to thrust aside the Gzeira of Rabbah. But in the other, B'Kviya Yachu, Litchu. So the Gemara says, Inachanami. Right? And then the Gemara discusses more issues related to this. Okay. Basically, what comes out of the Gemara in Sukkah? Two things that are very, very important. If you compare shofar and lulav, there appear to be two important discrepancies. Number one, we don't have the kind of compromise that we find in shofar and lulav. We don't find a situation where in the mikdash you can do it, but not bigvulav. Right? That only applies to shofar Rosh Hashanah. No one said that during the first day, Bismanenu, during the in the Mikdash, you could bring the lulav. No such thing. On the other hand, in exactly the opposite direction, the Gemara seems to say here, if not for the problem of Anan, Lo Bikiyam, Bikiyam, Diyarcha, that we're not 100% sure of the calendar, then when it comes to lulav, the Gzeira of Rabbah would not have been enough, right, to prevent the mitzvah d'oraisa of lulav. But when it comes to shofar, it seems like there's no such parallel discussion. It seems like the Gzeira of Rabbah determined that there'll be no tkiyah shofar b'Shabbos no matter what. That's very strange. So getting back to our first point, the compromise of mikdash that we find in conjunction with shofar is problematic on two levels. Number one, consistency, the Gemara's question, and as I say for the Rishonim, it remains an issue. Number two, the analog or the parallel to lulav does not support such a distinction. Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah already alludes to this problem and says something very, very amazing. Look at the second Bar Malkom, Tosfos second Rosh Hashanah Chaf Tes Amud Beis. Fine. Vimtomar. Maishna milulav shayinita lafilu begvulin bisman shemesa middash kayam. That's question number one. Kedemasha milulav araba shayimolichinu lavein lebesa knesses. We'll get back to this in just a minute. Question number one is, how come when it comes to lulav, it appears that we are more flexible, we allow the daraisa on the first day and not in shofar? Tosu gives several answers. Vishlomar, skip it for now. Okay, skip one line. The last word on the next line. Umi ukasha. This is the other side. Dilachar korban abayit sekilu tvei b'shofar mi belulav. Shetikin rabokan ben zakai shetokin b'chol makom sheish bezdin. Avalulav lo ishtri kidemash mahasam demukilahi demalichin lelevein b'zman b'samikla shubikvulin mashma demazman shein b'samikla shkayim lohutu b'shur makom. Why is it that when it comes to shofar, we have an outlet of a substitute for the Beis HaMikdash, Beis Din? When it comes to Lulav, once it's post-Korban, right, they dropped it completely. That's a slightly different case than what I was talking about before, but it's the same basic phenomenon. Why is it that we have an outlet for Shofar that we don't have for Lulav? So Tosfos gives an amazing answer, which we're going to get back to. But first, let's read it. Tosa says, "V'yishlomar to shofar shehu lahalos zichroneim shel Yisrael lavian shavah shavayim lo ratzu levata legamri v'kivin tikkun b'chad bezdin tikkun b'kol mokom sheyesh bezdin af al pi shebizman habayis lo haya lebimikdash dafka." Okay. Tosa says shofar so crucial, so indispensable, the role that it plays, you know, in terms of being mala zechroneim shel Yisrael avian shel v'shamayim, that they needed an outlet. It was just inconceivable that there would be no place that you could blow shofar. And that's an amazing statement about tkiya shofar. But in light of that, the first discrepancy, right, becomes even more difficult to fathom. What was the first question of Tosas? How come when it comes to lulav, right, before the problem of Kriya the Archa, what were we going to say? That on the day when it's fully Daraisa, Bein Begvulin, Bein Bemikdash, you can take it on Shabbos and don't worry about it. There's no heter to Imam Adal Adam, it's just a rabbin. The point is that, you know, we hope that you won't do it and we'll warn you as much as possible. It's not worth sacrificing lulav in its most intense Daraisa day, right, because of this chashash rachok of Dalet Amos Mishus Arab. But when it comes to shofar, which in some respects is even more indispensable than lulav, right, sheyala zichron aseim shel Yisrael avian shel b'shamayim, but that we are willing to sacrifice. It's very strange. So the first thing to note is this distinction between Mikdash and Medina and the difficulty with it on several levels. Secondly, the halamina that this is daraisa. What would be the daraisa? The Gemara later on rejects it because A, they don't like the discrepancy, the compromise, what we just talked about. B, where's the daraisa? Where's the malacha? So what is the malacha? So I think it's a Kapos Tamarim again, who says that, well, apparently the halamina thought that while there isn't a malacha, no, you can't fabricate a malacha. I mean, we all know what the lamatas of those malachas are. And we know that tkiya shofar is not one of them. So what was the Gemara thinking before it asked its question, where's the malacha? There had to be some idea. And as we explained before, it isn't just a rejected havamina in the Bavli. Right? It's a day on the Yerushalmi. The Prima Godim actually thinks that it's more than that, maybe. He says, maybe Beis Shammai lahalacha really holds this way. We don't pass like Beis Shammai. But if Beis Shammai thinks that tkiya shofar is prohibited on Shabbos daraisa because of zichron trua and yom trua, that would be an amazing, amazing shita. What has to do with Beis Shammai? Okay, so there is a well-known debate between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai in Mishnah in Beitza, Tafiyud Beis Amid Aleph, about mitoch shehutra l'tzorech, hutra shalol l'tzorech. Are we paskin that when it comes to Yom Tov, we talk to Hutra Tzorech, Hutra Nami Shalom Tzorech, which is why, right, either you need a Tzorech Tzas, or maybe you don't even need a Tzorech at all. You can carry things on Yom Tov, right? You can carry your Machzor, and you can carry, you know, the Lulav and Esrog. That's the rule. That's basically all. That's how we pass it. But the Shammai disagree. The Shammai say, if you have a real tzorech, Yom Tov, then you're allowed to carry and you're allowed to do malacha. And Yom Tov, that's the din of Hetzer Ochol Nefesh. But if it's not an actual tzorech Ochol Nefesh, right, we don't believe in this idea of mitoch shehutra l'tzorech hutra shalom l'tzorech, and you would not be allowed to carry a tinok, you wouldn't be allowed to carry a lulav and an esrog on Yom Tov. So the Prima Gadim asks the question. He says, well, according to Beis Hillel, who we paskin like, we understand the difference between shofar in Rosh Hashanah Shacholias B'Shabbos and shofar in a regular year when it's not Shabbos. Because you're not going to have a gzera of Rabbah b'toch shuhut v'letzorech v'toch shalom v'letzorech. Right, because you're allowed to carry the lulav, you're allowed to carry the shofar, and it's no problem at all. It's only on Shabbos where it's a problem, and that's where you have the gzeirah rabbah. But according to Beis Shammai, who think that even on Yom Tov, you're really not allowed to carry, unless it's heter ochol nefesh, right? Tzorech mitzvah hayom is not sufficient. So according to Beis Shammai, you should not be allowed to carry a shofar on Yom Tov. It would have to be in shul. So why wouldn't you have the same worry, the same gzeira of Rabbah, Shemay Abi Reno Dalad Amas Bishus Arabim? That's a Prima Gadim's question. It's a good question. There are various answers that he gives. One answer that he gives is, well, on the contrary, according to Beis Shammai, there should be no gzeira of Rabbah, not on Yom Tov, not on regular Yom Tov, Shechal B'Yom Chal, and not when it's Chal B'Shabbos either. Because if there's really no difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, you can't be oker the whole mitzvah d'oraisa of shofar because of gzeira d'rabbanan. It's one thing to say that, I don't know what these statistics, 3 out of every 11 years or something, I don't know why that sticks in my mind, is that true? I don't know why I'm looking at you, but I usually know these things, right? No? I guess not. So whatever, you know, it falls out, it falls out. So in 7 or 8 out of 10 or 11 years, you know, you have the mitzvah of tzkiyah shofar. Right? But you're not going to have a situation where the Torah says, blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, and because of Zera Shami Rana Yavrena Daladamas B'Shis Rabim according to Beis Shammai, there'll never be tzkiyah shofar. Right? That's just absurd. So that's one view that the Achronim take. According to Beis Shammai, on Shabbos, right, you're also going to blow shofar. It's a radical view, but an interesting view, and a logical view. The other perspective is the one that the Prima Gadim seems to be more comfortable with, and that is, according to Beis Shammai, the distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov is the distinction between Zichron Truah and Yom Truah. Beis Shammai hold like this day of the Yerushalmi and this Hava Mina. Well, if that's true, so then we have to go back to the if it's Daraisa and if they some psukim, what's the makar? What is the Isur? There's no one of the Lama Test Malachas that fits here. Now we do know of an idea of Shvus Daraisa. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Yudalid speaks about, you know, Kinivas Yerek Biyom Kippur, shaving the vegetables. The Gemara says maybe you can't do that on Shabbos Daraisa. So the Gemara says, where's the Malacha? The Gemara says, well, Shabboson Shvos. It's a Shvus. In addition to the Lama Tesavos Malachadar, maybe a category called Shvus Doraisa. And the Ramban, his Parashat Torah, has this idea. So is that what would be the basis for the Isur, according to the Habamin of the Gemara, according to maybe the Beis Shammai, according to the Day of the Yerushalmi? But then we need to really understand what's going on. So that's the second problem. The third problem is that the basis for this Hava Mina is Zichron Truah. And that raises all sorts of questions. Number one, the question based on what your comment before. Don't we already use up Zichron Truah for Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, and for the special requirement of Kavana? So is it open to be used for this Doraisa that we thought was a Doraisa of Rosh Hashanah, Shechol, Yos, B'Shabbos? Highly questionable. But it's more than that. Problem is, I've said this in the past in different contexts, but there are two parshas in the Torah. One is in Emor and one is in Pinchas. Right? Which is the main parsha of the Moed? Emor. The parsha Samoados is Emor. Pinchas is very important. It augments our understanding of the parshios, but it's essentially the framework of the Musafik. The real crux, the quintessence of each Yom Tov is defined in Emor. How peculiar is it that Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, one out of every, 25% of the time, 33%, I don't know the exact numbers, whenever it is, but definitely the minority of cases, and where, unfortunately, you cannot implement Ki HaShofar B'Shabbos, and that's the time of, that's signified by Zichron Trua, the main term that is used to describe the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. What we think the ideal or optimal term and phrase found in Parshas Emor would be reserved for the majority of cases and the ideal performance, which is the days when you can blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, which you're supposed to be able to do. How could it be, even in this Hava Mina of the Gemara, that Zichron Trua, right, the most important formulation, is the one that refers to the exception and to the B'di'evid, because of the Gzeira D'Rava, or Shavus D'Oraisa? Okay. As I said, it's perhaps the Beis Shammai. There's a very fascinating line in the Aruch HaShulchan that just came across the other day. He says, obviously, Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos is a Din D'Rabbanan, but, and I think he needs this seriously, Av B'Shezeh Shein Token B'Shabbos Hu B'Drabbanan B'Shum Gzeira, Mikamokom Gam HaTorah Ramzol Hazeh. And he doesn't just mean as an asmachta. He means like the Torah itself. This is a famous ritva in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yutes, where the ritva says that, asmachtas aren't just mnemonic devices, but that they really are, the omniscient Torah's, little hints at, rabbinic legislation, the important rabbinic legislation that will take place, centuries later. Some of them are merumas in the Torah itself. That obviously implies a certain measure of stature. The Aruch HaShulchan thinks that that is true about Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. Gam HaTorah Ramzol Hazeh. And then he goes on to explain that Parshas Pinchas Ksiv Yom Trua, Parshas Emor Ksiv Zichron Trua. Meaning, even though the Gemara rejects it as a makar, it is a remez d'oraisa. B'zeu k'shechal b'Shabbos, they know the Zichron Trua. The Od Yesh Hazeh Remez Yoser Amok, he points out something very interesting. I'm sure others have pointed out before, I just wasn't aware of it. The Inei Parshas Shor Kesav Emor, the Parshan Emor was said in the second year after Yitzias Mitzrayim. I'm not good at these calculations, but I'm going to rely on the Aruch HaShulchan. The second year after Yitzias Mitzrayim, right, if you do all the calculations and you figure out when Pesach was, so Pesach was on a Thursday, and the second year was on whatever, the way it comes out is that the second year, in other words, the Parsha and Emor, that year, Rosh Hashanah was called Yos B'Shabbos. Which is quite amazing. So he says, it's so unbelievably merumas in such a meduyak way that the Torah writes, Zichron Trua, signifying, only a Zichron and not a Trua, because that Parsha is referring to the first of Rosh Hashanah of that Parsha, is actually Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. He means it. The lake immediately the lower Mizah B'Raisa. Wow. Okay. So, is that possible? I mean, let's take it a step further. In Masechet Sofrim, Perek Gittes, Mishnah Ches, we're told that there is a change in Nusach, and this is our practice. When Rosh Hashanah is Chol Yos B'Shabbos, so in Tefillah, and in Kiddush, we say, not Yom Trua, right? I don't know who the Chazanim are in the crowd, but not Yom Trua, but they have to change it. Yom Zichron Trua, right? Both in Tefillah and in Kiddush. And this is the view of Rav Shmuel Bar Kofni, quoted in the Tur as well, that during Kiddush and Tefillah and Shabbos, you say Zichron Trua instead of Yom Trua. That's quite amazing. We changed the Nusach HaTefillah because of Gzeira Drabanan Shem Yavirenu Darodamos Brishas Rabim. We're talking about the fundamental Kiddush HaSayom of Rosh Hashanah. Midaraisa, there's no difference between Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Chol. I mean, the answer may be very practical. Maybe the Nusach HaTefillah, right, really is meant, really intends to inform us about the, you know, restrictions of the day. I mean, that's definitely a proper conclusion to reach. It's not the conclusion that's most obvious to me, and it's not the one that I'm suggesting. What I am suggesting is that even though this is a din d'rabbanan, somehow this idea of zichron trua is significant. It reflects something about the Kedushas Hayom. I should mention that this is stated in Masechet Soprim and Rav Shmuel Bar Chofni, and it is our practice. The Ur Rishonim didn't go along with it, just to highlight this. The Rambam, in his Nusach HaTefillah, Rav Haigon, again quoted also in the tour, have the formulation of Zichron Trua every year, even when it's Chal B'chol. That's fascinating too. Why not say Yom Trua since you blow shofar? The Bach says, oh, because they were impressed with the formulation in Parshas Ambar. They felt that was the central formulation of the Yom, Zichron Trua, and they went with that. And then he asks, how come they didn't say Nikra Kodesh Zichron Trua? After all, that's also part of the Psukim. Okay, I don't know if we'll get to that, but that's an interesting question. That's the Bach's question. But the point is, there are different nuskos in the Tefillah. But the fact is that it's not a simple matter at all. The Tumas HaDeshen as a tshuva, Simen Kuf Mem Hei, where he discusses whether or not you should change the Nusach HaTefillah at night. After all, we don't blow a shofar at night, Rosh Hashanah, so maybe at night you should say Zichron Trua in Tefillah and in Kiddush, and during the day you should say Yom Trua. Right? And he acknowledges that this is not the practice of Klal Yisrael. Right? We either say Yom Trua throughout, right? Certainly Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'chol, or we say Yom Zichron Trua throughout, and of course there's that distinction between Shabbos and Chol. Tumas HaDeshen himself says, well, maybe you should compare night with Shabbos. After all, according to those who change the Nusach on Shabbos, because befoal, in fact, there is no Tkiyah Shofar, so the same thing should be at night. And then he says, I like the Svara very much. He says, but I have to admit that there's a huge difference. In Shabbos, right, Midrabanan, they eradicated the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. But at night, it's just not yet the time of Tkiyah Shofar. But the point is, there seems to be a double issue or argument among the Rishonim, the Gonim, the Rishonim, and the Poskim. And that is, when it comes to Nusach HaTefillah, number one, what does it refer to? Nusach HaTefillah refers to what we, in fact, practice at a given moment or in a certain day. And then, if in fact you're not blowing the shofar, you shouldn't be saying Yom Trua, whether it's on Shabbos or at night. Or the Nusach HaTefillah reflects the Kedushas HaYom, namely it's a Yom Trua already from nighttime, and it's probably a Yom Trua on Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos as well, even if L'maisa, we're sitting on our hands and we're not practicing Tkiyah Shofar. But the Kedushas HaYom, based on the Daraisa, is still one of Yom Trua. So the question of Nusach HaTefillah becomes very important. In other words, to justify changing the Nusach HaTefillah to Zichron Trua, even though this is only a Din D'Rabbanan, would seem to be challenging. Finally, the Gzeira of Rabbah itself. As we already explained, such a Chomor mitzvah, right, the kind of mitzvah which Bali Tosfos had that, you know, inspiring formulation for, Mala Zichronoseyem, right, you know, Lavinu Sheva Shamayim, right, there has to be an expression of it, right? We're so machmir about the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar on the one hand, and at the same time, we're being told that because of the outside chance that you're going to forget, do a lot of adult education, right? So there won't be a violation of Shemi Yavi Reno Daladamos Rishus Arab. It's just an amazing thing. And especially when you compare it to the other Daraisa Lulav. Again, Megillah, it's Rabbanan, you know, it's not difficult to justify. But when it comes to Lulav, if not for the question of Inan Bikian Bikriya Diyarcha, which means it might not actually be Sukkos, in which case you're violating a din Daraisa, or the Chashash Daraisa versus the Chashash of a mitzvah. But if not for that factor, right, the mitzvah of lulav, which isn't strong enough to justify the equivalent of a mikdash, is apparently significant enough to take a chance on zera shami yir shami avi rena dalad hamas pishus harabin. But shofar, right, sheyala zichron noseinu, with everything that goes along with it, and there we're worried shami avi rena dalad hamas pishus harabin. It's very strange. Now this question of lulav in particular did generate a discussion of the Rishonim. Tosfos in Sukkah, Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah and in Sukkah, so even the Tosfos that we mentioned before in Rosh Hashanah, as I mentioned, asked this question and gives a very interesting answer. Yesh Lomar, going back to the second Makar, go down three lines, you'll see the Yesh Lomar. Shaini lulav she'en ala tiltu bialma. Hov ishri b'mikdash lo achmira b'medina. Havot ki ha-shofar maisa chachma. Basically, Tosfos gives the answer that the violation of lulav is less significant than the violation of shofar. I guess the chachma, the ina malacha of shofar is more chamor than the tilto bialma on a darbanan level of lulav. Sorry? Well, yeah, but the point is that it might be kind of a mukta, right? The tiltal here refers to mukta. So basically what we're saying is the shvus of tkiya shofar, but that's a very strange answer because it's zeir shem yabrena daladam suspicious arabim, it's the chashash daraisa, not the shvus drabanan, that is the reason that you don't take a lulav or you don't take a shofar b'shabbos. In the end of Tosfos, the last two lines, Ode Shlomar, the Bedinu do Lulav Yadochim Bigvulan Yosem Bishofar. Shabrosh Hashanah lo Yadua Kvius HaChodesh, Ela Birushalayim. Havi Yom Rishon do Lulav, Ho Yadua Bigvulan. In the end, Tosfos a totally different answer. The problem with Shofar is the problem of Bikin Bikvia the Yarcha, right? You don't know exactly the calendar date. And actually, that's a worse problem when it comes to Shofar than it is Lulav, because Kriyas HaChodesh is, Rosh Chodesh is on Rosh Hashanah. Right? So it's a bigger problem. That's one of the reasons why we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, even Eretz Yisrael, by Yom HaRichta. When it comes to Sukkot, we have 2 weeks. That's Tosfos' answer. The Rif in Megillah also goes with this idea. The Rif in Megillah explains again that the problem is one of Kviya D'Archa. Again, to answer the question, how come lulav, we would be willing Daraisa, right, to violate, we would be willing on the day of Daraisa to violate Gzeir Darabah, but shofar it seems not. So the Rit says, well, once the Gemara in Sukkah introduces the problem of Anan Bikin B'Kviya D'Yarcha, that applies to shofar as well. And that's what the Ramban says in Mochamos in Sukkah, and that's what the Ran says. The Ran has a parallel problem. Ran asks the question, how come every bris milah on Shabbos you don't say Gzeir D'Rabba? Right? The Torah Shabbat has a special limud to teach you that when a bris milah, when the eighth day comes out on Shabbos, you're supposed to violate Shabbos and perform the bris milah, right? But that's in terms of the mitzvah's milah, not in terms of incidental violations. Why not always say Zera Shemi Avi Reno Daladamos Rishus Harabim? So there are two answers in Rishonim, or more. One answer in the Rishonim is, well, since it's a special limud in the Torah to teach you that the eighth day is Docha Shabbos, so you can't wipe that off the books. It's one thing to make adjustments, takanos, within, the framework of a particular mitzvah or a particular din. That's an adjustment. But when your adjustment ends up taking a din daraisa and throwing it, you know, out completely, that's not Xera anymore. That's Akira's Davar Min HaTorah, and you can't do that. That's one answer to the Mila question. The other answer to the Mila question, the majority answer to the Mila question is, once the Gemara brings in Anan, Biki, and Bikviya, the Yarcha, and that's the reason why Lulav, we're worried about Xera, Shemi, Abrenov, Davaram, Sarabim, but that doesn't apply to Mila. Mila is not a calendar day. Mila is the eighth day, right, from the child being born. We know it's the eighth day. There's no problem. So that would be fine if we accept the view that Anan, Biki, and Bikviya, the Yarcha is the support for the Xera of Shemi Avirenu Daladamos Brishas Arad. However, is that really true when it comes to shofar? The Gemara says it about Lulav. The Rishonim apply it to Mila. But when it comes to shofar, the Gemara said nothing about Anan Bikin, in Anan Bikin Kviya Diyarcha. So the Rith Udi may think you have to read the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. It's a methodological thing. You have to read the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and the Gemara in Sukkah together. And then when you put them together and you have a question, instead of having a question, just realize that Divrei Torah Ani and B'makom Echad V'Ashir B'makom Acher. You have to read them together, and Anan B'kiyum B'kviya D'Yarcha is a bigger problem in Rosh Hashanah than it is in Sukkah, and that answers all problems. Fine. However, that would be maybe acceptable for the Rith, because he says it, and that might be the explanation, and fine. But it's not acceptable, certainly, for the Rambam. Rambam, in Hilchos Shofar, discusses this problem of Shofar B'Shabbos, and in Hilchos Lulav, he discusses the problem of Lulav B'Shabbos. Which comes first, Shofar or Lulav? Well, in the calendar, which comes first? Shofar. And the Rambam was a very organized codifier. So the Rambam has, actually, Shofar, Sukkah, and Lulav in a single, right under a single heading. Right, the first two prakim are shofar, then comes sukkah, then comes lulav. It's all in the same section. Shofar, lulav, and sukkah rather, lulav. So, why is that important? Let's see what the Rambam writes. Yom Tov Shavuot Shana Shcholias B'Shabbos Ein Tokim B'Shofar B'Chol Makom Alfa Bishat Kia Mishum Shvus Amin Adin Ayu Shatokin Yavo Asa Shal Torah V'Yitka Shvus Shal Devarim. All things being equal, the Tkia of Rosh Hashanah should have, right, been permitted, after all, to Daraisa, and the problem of Shvus, Chachma Vena Malacha, is not a Malacha, it's not a Daraisa at all, and therefore you should have been able to blow. Lama ain't token, Xera Shemi, it's Lenaviyadavi, Alekena Levishi Yitkalo, Viyavirena Daladamas Mishus Arabim, Omotsim Mishus Nashus, Viyavada Deisra Skila, Chakochiam Bitkia Vena Kol Bikin, Litkoa. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara as is. What? Okay, good, because of the Dalai Lama's Rishus Rabban, the Rishus.
Because he's writing here that you're going to bring the shofar to a coffee. You're not going to go to learn.
Are you going to bring it? Well, he'll read for, he'll profile. That's true, that's another. Right. For our purposes, it's not so important, but there are two small difference. No. It may be important for other things. Number one, he includes Rishus Rishus, which is a big issue in the Rishonim. And number two, instead of saying that you're going to go to the Baki, he's going to teach you, you're going to go to the Baki and you're going to hear it from him. Fine. It also may be related to the Rambam Shita about Shmiya as opposed to, I always thought it may be related to Shmiya as opposed to Tkiya. That's why the Rambam is fine for somebody else, you know, blowing for you as opposed to, you know, you blowing for yourself. But okay, fine. Now, look at, for a moment, look at Hilchos Lulav, right? Perek Zayin, Halacha Yigimel. Mitzvah Lulav Linata B'Yamrishon Shochag Bavad B'Chamokam B'Chozman Apilu B'Shabbos Shenemar U'Lekachtem Lachem B'Yamrishon U'B'Mikdash Levado Not L'Nosa B'Chol Yom Yom B'Shiva Simei Achag Shenemar Smachtem Fnei Hashem L'Kekem Shiva Simei. So what does the Rambam tell you? That all things being equal, the Lulav is going to be taken even on Shabbos on the first day, which is exactly what the Gemara says. Chol Yom Shabbos Lios Mitochi Neachag Einu Nito B'Shabbos Gzeir Hashem Yolakena B'Yadu Dalad Amos B'Shus Haram Kamosha Gozer B'Shofa. So then the Rambam asks the question, Halacha Yudalim B'Lama Lo Gozer Gzeir Hashem B'Yadu Frishon B'Dei Shem Mitzvah Min HaTorah V'Afila B'Gvulin. Why not have Rabba's Gzeir on the first day? The answer is because the first day, even in the Gvulin, it's an intense day of Daraisa. Nimsa she'ein dino v'din shar yomim shabe That's exactly what the Gemara said. Meaning, Gzeirah d'Rabbah is set aside for the intense first day. Then Halacha Tezva, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, Yishkinu Shiu Lulav Nitzah B'Kol Makom, Kol Shiv Yisneachag Zeichah LaMikdash, B'Kol Yom Yom Mevarech Halav, etc. Takanazum Kol Takanos are Yachzer Dabal Yashnan. Then Halacha Tezayin, Dizman Shemeis HaMikdash Kayim, Ayol Lulav Nitzah B'Yom Rishon Shechalios B'Shabes, repeats with Nechem B'Shar Mekomos, Sheyodu Bevadai, Sheyom Zer Yom Chag Kerem Peretz Yisrael, HaMekomos HaRechokim Shlo Yodu Mekviyos Rosh Chodesh, Lo Yinotan Alulav B'Safek. Meaning, once it's a problem of Bikim Biyarcha, so then even the first day you won't take it. So what is the Rambam basically saying? Because of Anan, Lo Bikim, Bikvia the Yarcha, there's no Lulav on Shabbos, even on the first day. Now, it's one thing to say that the Gemara, right, is Divrei HaGemara, Aniyim B'Makom Echad, Vashirim B'Makom Acher, and therefore, you have to read the Gemara in Sukkah together with the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah to realize that Bikim B'Yarcha is a linchpin in being Choshesh for Gzeirah d'Rabbah. That's the way the Gemara works. Sometimes you have to integrate the sugyas to get the full picture. And the fact that, you know, the Masechtas, you know, the order is different, that's all irrelevant. But the Rambam, as I say, was the master organizer, you know, of law, of Jewish law, certainly, probably of any law, of all time. Just what he did was just amazing. So if the Kiyam B'Kviyah D'Yarcha is the linchpin not only for Gzeirah d'Rabbah for Lulav, but also Shofar, right, then the Rambam does not mind speaking about this. He has how many halachos? 4 or 5 halachos dedicated to the single rule of Lulav, or the single issue of Lulav on Shabbos. And in Shofar, you can only manage one halacha. He quotes the Gemara Ketshut, there's not anything there about Anan Bikim B'Kviyah D'Yarcha. It seems obvious that the Rambam did not think that you have to read the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and the Din of Lulav of Shofar in light of the Din of Lulav in the Gemara in Sukkah. Because otherwise he would have introduced Kviyah D'Yarcha in Shofar as well. So what's going on? There are other answers to this question. The Balamor and the Ravid each have famous answers. The Ravid has the most famous answer, which I was going to elaborate on, but my time is running out, so I'll just tell you what he says. The Ravid says that there's a special din of Tkiyah Shofar B'Mikdash. If you look very carefully, he says that the Psukim in Parshas Emor, they talk about V'Kravtem Isha Olah L'Hashem and the Chatzotzros. This is the Ravid's own diuk. It doesn't say this in any Gemara. The Ravid says, if you read very carefully, Shofar Shal Rosh Hashanah is referring to the Beis HaMikdash. You wouldn't get it reading the Psukim. But the Ravid got it based on Diyukim. And therefore, says the Ravid, it's important to realize that there's a difference when it comes to Shofar between Gvulin and Medina. Mash'enkein belulav. There's, you know, smak nefeshem b'kechem shivas yamim, right? The first day is more intense, but the Gvulin part is also mefurash bakra, lekachtam lechem b'yom harishon, etc. So, based on that, one could also explain that there's this huge difference between B'Mikdash and B'Gvulin, even on the Drabbanan level. The Rav doesn't apply it to that. He's not answering that question. But in light of what the Rav says, right, answering the Gemara's question for the Habamina, for Beis Shammai, for the Yerushalmi, right, how could it be that there's going to be a difference between Shofar B'Shabbos and the Mikdash and Shofar B'Shabbos B'Gvulin? In light of the Rav, the answer might be because there's a special din of Shofar B'Mikdash. And that special din of Shofar B'Mikdash allows for this kind of discrepancy even on a Daraisa level. What do you mean?
Because we had a whole period of time
Oh, I don't know. I mean, Parshas Amar, he says, even though... Right. No. But the point of the Ravid is that since the Ikar Mitzvah of Shofar is the Mikdash, right, therefore, Bigvulin, it's always lacking, you know, its full expression, and as such... Zer the Rabba will render it, will neutralize it, whereas Lulav, which is full Daraisa, Big Bulin, right? Well, right, so that's true. I mean, the principle that he's not denying that this is Daraisa of Shofar Big Bulin. He's just saying the Torah's Merames that the full expression is in the Mikdash. And since the full expression requires the Mikdash, it's not the kind of mitzvah which, you know, is going to overcome a chashash of gzera, shem yavrenu dal adam shisrab. And more needs to be said about the right, but that's the idea. Now that's true, it doesn't matter historically, one way or another. I mean, your point is correct in terms of they wouldn't have had the fullness of expression until they were in the mikdash. That's all true. Or the mishkan, I might also substitute for that, would substitute for that. But the point is it doesn't really matter. It's the principle that shofar, right, is not a standalone maisa mitzvah, no matter what. That's the... Oh, okay. Good. That's the... Right. That's an amazing idea. Well, fine. I'll get back to it, but that's an idea. Balamor is another idea. Balamor says the Machlokas and the Gemara, how many tkios are Doraisa? And there's one view in the Gemara that even the three are not all Doraisa. One's Doraisa, two Drabanan, two Doraisa, one's Drabanan. Since it's a mitzvah in which Drabanans and Doraisas are all mixed together, so it's not the kind of mitzvah like Lulav, right, that you can just ignore Gzeira, Shemi Avirena Dalam Zvishra. That's the Balamor. Ramban says, why do I care that there are Drabanan elements of the Mitzvah of Shofar as long as I agree that there are Daraisa elements, so whatever is Daraisa should still be Docha, should be like Lula. Okay. These are very, again, each of these answers, each of these perspectives require analysis. For our purposes of the moment, let's just say the following. What's really going on here? So I think that the answer may be as follows. Mentioned before that the Bali Tosas have this view that shofar is in one respect more critical than lulav. On the other hand, the evidence is that from a pure gzeir shem yavrenu dalet amos v'sh sarabim clashing with, you know, this daraisa, that lulav is taking precedence over shofar. How could that be? What I'd like to suggest is that we just reorient ourselves a little bit. And that really, these two elements, instead of being opposite, are really two sides of the same coin. Mentioned before, not only Tosis' view, there are other indications that shofar is special, unique, as well. Number one, the Ravid that we just discussed, which implies that it's connected to the Mikdash. This idea that it's connected to the Mikdash, the Ravid's own unique expression and application, is very unusual. But there are other sources that tie Tkia Shofar to the Mikdash. Right, the Gemara says that you can't have a shofar shell para because ain kategar nasa senegar. Right, the whole story of the para of the, you know, egel. Moreover, the shofar has to be from a kosher animal because it's, you know, davar shenichnas lifnai velifnim. Famous discussion of the Ramban and the Ritva. The Gemara talks about the principle of mitzvah baba vera in very limited context. Lulav, korban, actually. Yerushalmi speaks about it in terms of shofar. So Ramban says, why only these two or three items? So some Rishonim explained, actually some Bali Tosas sort of said it earlier, Tosas Rabbeinu Peretz, Tosas Rash Mishantz, Dvarim Shel Ritzui are subject to mitzvah baba vera. Stana mitzvah doesn't have that status. The lulav actually is included in this as well. Shofar, according to them, is a dvar ritzui. It's a davar shenichnas lefnai velefnim. Right? That's the whole point. Well, maybe that, again, is why it has a special connection with mikdash, according to the Ravid. The idea is that precisely because shofar is Mala Zichronos Shal Yisrael Lefnei Avim Sheva Shamayim, because of the Ritzui, on the one hand, that makes it more indispensable, and at the same time, it makes it critically important that we not in any way compromise the integrity of Tkiyas Shofar. Whereas a chashash rachok, if not for anu ein bekiyin bekviya diyarcha, even when it comes to lulav, again, so have intensive education. You're really so worried. So it turns out that in lulav, not really, except for anachin lo bekiyin bekviya diyarcha. But when it comes to shofar, precisely because it is a dvar ritzui, precisely because the stakes are so high, the possibility that tkiyas shofar would lead one, even in the chashash rachok, to gzeira shem yavi reno dalad amos b'shus harabim, becomes completely unacceptable. Let me take it a step further. The fact is that even though there's no shofar b'shabbos, if the reason that there's no shofar b'shabbos is consistent with the idea of Ritzui, and Uri Yashena Mishinaschem, as the Rambam formulates it, Nochas Tshuva, right, the idea of additional scrupulousness in one's Avodas Hashem, so in a certain sense, if I refrain from Tkiyas Shofar because of the high standards and the message of Tkiyas Shofar, so then that refraining isn't a rejection of Tkiyas Shofar, but actually a Kiyum in Tkiyas Shofar. I'm holding back, even though it seems like the danger is really not sufficient grounds to justify holding back. I'm doing so because of a deeper, right, understanding of what Tkiyas Shofar is about. But if that's true, then I'm fulfilling Tkiyas Shofar, or at least the principle of Shofar, the theme of Shofar, on the highest level, when, because of Zeru Shema Renu Dalad Amos Rishisarabim, I'm not even willing to take the chance. And in that sense, we're talking about maybe a day which is not Yom Teruah, but a day which is totally a day of Zichron Teruah. Again, getting back to your question. Zichron Teruah is the source for Mitzvos Trichos Kavanah. Zichron Teruah is the source for Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. In a word, Zichron Teruah establishes that Tkiyas Shofar isn't just the physical mitzvah of blowing the shofar, but that there's a whole attitude, there's a whole culture that comes with Tkiyas Shofar. Right? An awareness of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, none of which I can speak about right now. Right? An extra requirement of Kavanah beyond other mitzvos. Consistent with that is the idea that even the chashash rachok of Shem Yavirenu Dalad Amos B'Shus HaRabim, right, even that is reason to avoid what seems to be the vehicle of being male Zichron Oseinu Lifnei Avinu Sheva Shamayim. In other words, the ultimate kiyum in shofar itself, the idea that you understand not just what the physical mitzvah is about, but everything that it conveys, Zichron Teruah. And therefore, when Rosh Hashanah is Chal B'Shabbos, we actually use the phrase Zichron Teruah in the Nusach HaTfilah. Maybe, not only because, although for sure also because, L'maisa, we don't blow shofar, but also because this broader idea of Zichron Teruah is manifest even more clearly. The same reason that we need the outlet of the Mikdash, Kadesh Shayala Zichron Oseinu, for that very same reason as a Kiyum in Zichron Teruah, we're obligated to refrain. And if this is true, we can understand many other issues which we're not going to be able to discuss right now, including what the impact of this Indrabanan is. The Rabbanan said there's no Tkiyas Shofar b'Shabbos, and therefore b'Gavra you're supposed to sit home and not blow, or they were mafkia the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar b'Shabbos. Then they go so far as to say that if you blow Shofar on Shabbos, right, forget about violating a Drabanan, right, what is the impact that you had Daraisa? A very famous question in the Achronim, this will just conclude, there are a number of other Nafkamina, but Let's say a person blows shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Shekholiyos Meshach, he forgets, or B'mezid, whatever it is, he never heard of Zeir Deraba, doesn't want to fulfill the obligation. Right. Shekhar Paskins that even, you know, there's a debate whether you say it's man, Shechianu, in a regular year when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Kol, you blow shofar twice, do you say Zman only on the first day or on the second day as well? Yom HaRichta. So according to those who Rishonim would say, you only say the first day and not the second day. So what happens when Rosh Hashanah is Kaliyos B'Shabbos? So you say Zman on the second day. So what happens if Rosh Hashanah is Kaliyos B'Shabbos and somebody blew on the first day? Will you still say Zman on the second day according to those who say that in a regular year you don't? In other words, did you fulfill the mitzvah Drabanan or not? So some people say mitzvah b'aveira. It's a little hard to explain that it's a mitzvah b'aveira, but I think the Rav Shlomo Kluger in Shulchan Aruch does say that. But the question I'm raising is, to what extent have we literally obliterated midrabanan tkiyas shofar b'Shabbos? And this very much may depend, and how does this fit in with the normal patterns of drabanan? But if we say that Rosh Hashanah Shecholios B'Shabbos, it isn't just that there happens to be Gzeirah Shemei Avirena Da'od Amos. But Shemei Avirena Da'od Amos, once that's in play, ends up establishing that the best kiyum of shofar is Zichron Trua. So then, we're going to relate to this Drabanan in a way that is simply unique. I'll stop here because it's already late. I just want to wish you all a Ksiva Ksima Tova. Again, we'll meet again after Yontif, and you should all have a Shnas Chayim of the Shalom.